This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today we hear from two more candidates who are running for state legislature this year. Coming up, Democrat John Hoadley is running for the Democratic nomination in the state House district that includes Kalamazoo. But first, Margaret O'Brien is in her second term in the state House. The Republican represents Portage and the surrounding area in the 61st district. She's not running for that seat again because she's seeking the state Senate seat, which includes all of Kalamazoo County. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure to be here with you again.
And we're also joined by Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thanks for having me, Gordon.
Margaret O'Brien, why don't you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself and why you're running for state Senate?
Well, thank you. The biggest reason I'm running for the state Senate is it's about our community and our larger community, which would be the state of Michigan. My family's been here for a number of years, and I've grown up here. I'm a lifelong Kalamazoo County resident, and I've seen when the economy was good, how wonderful things can be. But I've also seen that when the economy has suffered, that there's a lot of people who go through trials and troubles and they struggle. And it's really important that we have policies that really reflect the people in our state. And so when I look at the decision that I made to run for Senate, first I had to ask for my husband and my two children for their permission to run, because while I may be the one serving, they're the ones who often suffer the consequences of not having me at home. Once they gave me the blessing, I looked at this election, and it's really about, in my eyes, leadership and results. Who has a history of getting results that are positive for our state? And who has the leadership that's willing to jump into tough issues and tackle them? And I think that between my time on the council in Portage and as a state representative, I've been willing to deal with those tough issues that our community has brought. And so I thought, combined with my passion and family history being here in Kalamazoo, I want to bring that type of commitment to state office.
Alex, first question for Margaret O'Brien.
Margaret, when you voted against a minimum wage bill recently signed by Governor Snyder, you said that the bill missed a meaningful opportunity to help struggling Michigan families. Can you expand a little bit on what opportunity you feel was missed?
When we look at minimum wage is meant to be an entry point, a starting point into the job market. It's not to be a staying point, and minimum wage was never meant to support a family, because again, it's meant to be a temporary point in a person's employment. And my concern was, so much of the conversation was about minimum wage. We have to make sure it's high enough to support a family. Having grown up in a family that was poor, minimum wage doesn't help you support a family. Being able to gain further education, more job training opportunities so you can earn your way up that employment ladder, that's what helps move a family out of poverty. My mom and dad both made minimum wage. What would have helped them would be job retraining, more education, not just saying let's increase the minimum wage.
Are you suggesting you'd like to see perhaps more vocational or skills-based training at the high school or possibly college level?
More skills training is essential to our state. When I've talked to Stryker and some of the other manufacturing companies in this town, they are saying the skills that they need do not require a college degree, yet the high school students aren't coming out of school with those skills. I was talking to the Van Buren Intermediate School District superintendent, and they've seen about a 25% drop in their vocational education program because the rules became so stringent at the state level of what every student had to graduate. No longer could you use vocational education to meet certain math or science requirements. And these are students building robots. They're designing them for a specific function, and they are creating, they're doing every step along the way, yet that doesn't count towards science or math. And we passed in the House a Michigan merit curriculum change that would allow for more flexibility. It does not dumb down the standards at all, but it allows for more of the integrated education. Those kids who are building these robots, they're doing physics, calculus, and other aspects, but yet the credits count for none of those. And so we have to do more to bring that back. My brother, he went to the Navy and became a nuclear reactor operator, and he went through the Skills Center, or the Vocational Center in Van Buren County. And today, he's a nuclear reactor operator. He commands a high salary. He never had to go to college to get that job. So that's what we can bring back to our youth who are saying, maybe I'm not ready for college right now, or I want to get right into the workforce upon graduation. Let's help give the schools the tools they need so they can adapt and provide that education.
If I can just kind of wrap up the minimum wage conversation, do you think that the state should have a minimum wage? And if so, where would you place it if it were just simply up to Margaret O'Brien?
I had a minimum wage bill that I had introduced, and I had introduced an $8.20 minimum wage, and I had kept a youth minimum wage because, interestingly enough, youth have about 26% unemployment. And if you can't get your first job, you're going to struggle to get a second and third job, which may be why some of the 20 and 30-year-olds are still stuck in minimum wage jobs. They couldn't get that first job as a 16-year-old. And so I do believe that we're going to keep having a minimum wage. The federal government requires it. Let's have it. Let's raise it. Let's allow for an inflationary index, but not every year. The bill that passed had it every year. Think of the chaos that causes the business owner as they're trying to do payroll. They're constantly having to change everyone's salary constantly, not just by an increase to reward you for good service, but because the minimum wage keeps moving. So we definitely should have it. We should increase it. But this was not the right proposal that'll be good for the hardworking people who are struggling.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with State Representative Margaret O'Brien of Portage. She is running for the Republican nomination for State Senate in the district, which will include all of Kalamazoo County. Also here is Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette. Alex?
Margaret, another thing you mentioned in your announcement was that you're someone who's willing to work across the aisle. A recent example of that would be your House Bill 5223 that would clarify teacher evaluation standards that you're co-sponsoring with Adam Zemke, if I said that correctly, a Democrat out of Ann Arbor. Could you possibly mention some other areas you'd be willing to work across the aisle if elected?
I'm always willing to sit down at a table and talk about any issue. There were quite a few people who were shocked when I introduced my own minimum wage bill because they thought, why would I introduce this? And I said, because I wanted to have a conversation centered around what's best for our state. And when you can work across the aisle, you can then have a very healthy debate and discussion about what's best for our state. I've done it on a number of legislation. In fact, when you look at the legislation that I have worked on the last 3.5 years, it's been bipartisan. Physical therapy, it's sitting in the House right now. I worked in the last 3.5 years with it, both Democrats and Republicans, and we look to have a physical therapy bill signed into law. That's been a 20-year battle, and it's about doing it the right way, not about making it about yourself. It's about a better Michigan. I look, as you mentioned, my education bill. I asked Representative Zemke to come on board before I even knew what he even thought about the concept. Because when he got elected, I asked him, why did you run for office? And he said, education. I love education. I thought if somebody has that passion that motivates them to run for office, I want them at the table because we can work out our disagreements. I've also worked on a central registry bill, which is a very technical bill that most people don't know about, but it impacts so many people, some negatively, some positively in our state. I worked with Representative Robinson, the most liberal member of the House. I worked with her closely on that bill, and it got signed into law, and she attended the ceremonial signing. Adoption, Representative Kosowski, Democrat, who I worked with closely. I can go on and on. It's really about you as a person. The political party isn't going to solve your problems. You got to look to individuals to lead. And I've never been afraid to lead. And if I make a misstep, I'm never afraid to apologize or to rethink and to look at new information. If we're unwilling to sit down with somebody who might have a little bit different perspective, then how's that good for our state? So I'm all about working with people on both sides of the aisle.
As I'm sure you're aware, there was going to be another candidate in this Republican primary for state Senate, former Representative Lawrence Winkie, who right before filing deadline decided to run as a libertarian. At the time, he cited the Republican Party's stance on gay rights as the main reason that he was switching parties. What I want to know from you is, do you view this as an ongoing, the gay marriage issue in particular, an ongoing debate that the Republican Party is still having? Or is the Republican Party pretty settled here? And if someone like Lawrence Winkie is totally uncomfortable with that position, perhaps he has done the right thing by joining a different party.
What's really behind this is, how do we talk about issues that are deemed controversial? Gay people are the same type of person as you and I. Just like women have been put into a glass box, I think gay people have been put into a glass box where they're treated as something different than just an individual. We do need to talk about gay marriage. We need to talk about discrimination. But we need to do it without rhetoric and without disrespect. And that's been the real struggle if you look over the last few years as this issue has come up more and more. The people who command all the attention tend to be the people who are extremely militant or who say the craziest things. The people who want to sit down at a table across from somebody who has a different opinion than them or has an idea they want to approach, that's kind of boring. And so that's often ignored. We need to talk about these issues, but if all we're going to do is throw rhetoric out or disrespect, it will never allow for solutions to be found. So I do believe we need to deal with some of the discriminatory issues that we have out there. But let's sit down and really talk about the differences, how you can find solutions, what are different options. You know, throwing rhetoric or disrespect out there, it's never going to move a ball down the field. It's like throwing a Hail Mary on every play. It might work once. It'll never work every time.
Do you think that the state's Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act should be amended? Governor Snyder says he wants lawmakers to discuss this. Amend it so it includes protections for sexual orientation. Would you be in favor of that?
I definitely want to talk about it. I can't tell you what I would or wouldn't be in favor of because I want to sit down and look at all of the issues. Speaker Bolger has talked about this a lot, and I think he's right on the fact we talk about differences of religious views, but we also talk about sexual orientation. Everybody deserves to be respected. What is the best way to provide the protections that people need? In real estate, I've never asked somebody if they were gay, not gay, if they were married, not married. For me, it was about the information they felt was important that I needed to find them the home they wanted or to help them sell their home. And in my profession, we're not to discriminate. And so for me, I never asked people what their value systems were. I was just there to serve. And I think we need an economy, a job market that's similar to that. But how do you cross that line? I can't tell you if somebody is or is not straight or gay unless they tell me. And so that's where we need to look at what do the employers think, because they don't want to be in a position of asking questions that they shouldn't be asking in an effort to not discriminate. So how do we find the balance? Let's talk about it. I'm open for the conversation and I want to be at the table.
Alex?
Margaret, if I can move back to Lawrence Winkie for a moment. When he made his announcement that he was going to be running as a Libertarian, it caught a lot of people off guard, including Congressman Fred Upton, who said during an interview with the Gazette that he thinks Mr. Winkie's decision hurts your chances in November because it'll draw voters from the same pool. Were you caught off guard by his decision to run as a Libertarian at all? And do you agree with Congressman Upton that it could hurt you in November?
You know, first, let's understand this is one of the most competitive Senate seats in the state. So this was going to be a hard election, no matter who was in. But for me, I didn't worry about who is the person that might be running in the primary or the general election. I believe that I have a message that I want to give to voters, which is a can-do attitude, one that's been built on results in the House, with leadership in the House. You can lead on tough issues, even if they're not, don't seem to be part of your party's platform. You can still be a leader on these issues. And so when he decided to become a Libertarian, obviously conventional wisdom will say it may pull from the Republican ticket. But when you look at the issues he's running on, I would argue those aren't Libertarian issues. That isn't the Libertarian Party doesn't want government deciding anything. And so I can't tell you where the votes would be pulled. Maybe it's more in a different direction. For me, I want to show that this election is about being respectful of all people in our community, all people in our state, and let's look at the records of everybody in the race. I'm the only one that has a record of real results across the aisle, and I'm the only one that doesn't go out and spew partisan political talking points. I have been with my party when I agree with them on the issues, but there have been tough issues where I've said, no, I don't think that's the right policy, and I voted against them, even though it may have given me political benefit. I'm about what's best for my community and state.
Margaret O'Brien, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Margaret O'Brien is a state representative. Her district includes Portage in the 61st State House District. She's running for state senate for the seat, which includes all of Kalamazoo County. And we also want to thank Alex Mitchell of the Kalamazoo Gazette.
Thank you, Gordon.